I want to echo very strongly what's already been said about the warmth of the welcome we received from the province of Aotearoa, New Zealand and Polynesia. But there are a couple of features of the meeting that I'd like to underline, which haven't yet been drawn out and which I think were of great importance for us. The first is really to respond to what some people have said, that the structure and pattern of ACC meetings is designed to push to the margin some of the more difficult and contentious matters in the communion, to focus our minds on process and take our minds away from the arguments we're not prepared to have. I don't think this is true. I think that the crucial point is not whether or not we have those arguments, it's where we have them. And in the small groups, the Bible study groups, and some of the other smaller groups that function during the ACC meeting, I can certainly guarantee from first-hand experience that very demanding exchanges on the state of the communion and the large issues that divide us did go on and were, in a very proper sense, contained within the life of those prayerful, biblically focused groups. So going back to issues that were raised earlier on this afternoon, if we ask the question of how we manage our diversity as a church, part of the answer has to be, well, in what context, sorry, Stephen, are we trying to do it? A context of administrative, public, bureaucratic decision-making, or primarily a context where we're trying to read the Bible together and understand one another as disciples. So I don't think that we were evading the difficult issues. I think that, as perhaps at Lambeth 2008, we were trying to create the conditions in which it was possible to have a fruitful discussion of them. I want also to underline the very warm response that the ACC gave to the development of the Anglican Alliance, that is the new international network looking at issues of relief and development across the Anglican world, coordinating and prioritizing some of the work already done on the ground by countless Anglican agencies. This has developed very rapidly, very fruitfully, and I think the communion overall has recognized it as a very, very important tool for addressing the needs of our world and also for enabling us to talk more honestly, more usefully together. And that in turn poses, I think, a question of very wide range. A question about the instruments of communion, a question about the kind of international life we have as a communion. We're still to some extent in that post-Second World War era where if you had a problem, the thing to do was to throw a committee at it. And the main thing that you would always want to ask is whether a committee was representative, whether it was functioning in a certain kind of accepted way. And the fact of the matter is we have moved on culturally, internationally, from that in quite a lot of ways. The networks of the Anglican Communion now represent some of the most creative, most universally supported work that we do as a communion. Those networks looking at particular focused questions, mission, education, relief, issues around the family, issues around gender, indigenous peoples, environment, and so forth. These networks draw people from the entire spectrum, and I do mean the entire spectrum, of Anglican identity. Help them to listen to one another, identify the priorities that they want to focus on, and work together effectively. I'm deeply grateful that these have developed in such a rich way, especially in the last 5 years or so. So that perhaps the larger question that we're up against is, how do we hold together the burgeoning life of networks, alliances, less formal associations across the communion with the unavoidable need for decision-making and managing bodies? I don't think we've got a formula for that, but that's the kind of challenge which I think this ACC put before us, perhaps more vividly than ever before. One final word about all this. As you've heard, we were able on one of the weekends during the ACC meeting to leave the meeting itself, go out to the parishes, and see something of the life of the local church at the grassroots. I had the inestimable privilege of spending a weekend in Christchurch in the South Island to visit the site of the earthquakes of 2010 and 2011, to meet some of the people who'd been most directly involved in relief work in the wake of the earthquakes, and to get some sense of how church and city in Christchurch were pulling together in the aftermath of these devastating events. 185 people were killed in the earthquakes. The city center of Christchurch was almost entirely destroyed. And of course, the cathedral there was largely destroyed as well. I found myself in the middle of a very deeply praying, deeply hoping community. I spent a wonderful afternoon, really wonderful afternoon, with a group of a couple of hundred young adults from the Diocese of Christchurch, wanting to explore not only the issues of their situation, but their own questions about vocation and faith, and was aware that in that very pressured and stressed environment in and around Christchurch, the Anglican Diocese was doing truly extraordinary things in bringing the questions of faith alive for a younger generation and mobilizing the energy and vision of that younger generation in and out of the church. And perhaps that's the thing I will carry away most vividly from those 2 weeks in New Zealand. That sense of a church mobilizing the prayer and the intelligence and the energy of a younger generation in the aftermath of traumatic suffering. It's one part, it's not the whole of the story of the Anglican Church in that province, but it's a very important part. And put together with the focus that was emerging on networks, informal connections around and between the churches, I had quite a strong sense of a church being born, another style, another mode of church life coming to birth in that particular environment, which has a great deal to say to the rest of us. And I believe that for all the unresolved problems and unfinished business which any international Anglican meeting leaves in its wake, this particular meeting of the Anglican Consultative Council gave us an immense amount to be grateful for and to work for in our understanding of our Anglican identity in the Christian spectrum today, in response to God's challenges and God's call in the world today.